Hey there, I'm George Sedano, a name you might recognize from crushing the competition on Around the Horn, and a voice you might recognize from ESPN Radio in Los Angeles. Fun fact, though, I also got Spurs head coach Greg Popovich to smile once during a sideline interview. So you're going to be hearing different voices hosting ESPN Daily in the coming weeks, and I'm one of them. I'll be with you the rest of the week, helping this podcast do what it's always done, tell the best sports stories in audio day in and day out. Thanks for listening. Rich Cimini, our ESPN Jets beat writer, remind us, how long have you been covering the Jets?
This will be my 35th year covering the Jets, believe it or not. So that's covered 12 head coaches, not including Bill Belichick, who was only head coach for a day. So Robert Saleh is the 12th head coach.
Now, how many quarterbacks have you covered in that time, and can you name all of them?
I can because I looked it up, but yeah. So Aaron Rodgers will be the 15th starting quarterback that I've covered, and that's like full-time starters. That's not counting the guy who came in for a couple of games for an injury. 15 starting quarterbacks in that span, from Ken O'Brien to Aaron Rodgers.
All right, let's test you, Rich. Let's go. 15 quarterbacks, starters, name them.
Okay. I started on the beat. Ken O'Brien was the starting quarterback. He was replaced by Browning Nagel, who gave the job to Boomer Esiason, who was replaced by Neil O'Donnell, who lost it to Glenn Foley, who eventually lost it to Vinny Testaverde, and then in came Chad Pennington for a while. From Chad, we went to Brett Favre, from Favre to Mark Sanchez, from Sanchez to Geno Smith for a couple of years. Then, of course, the immortal Fitzpatrick, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic. Josh McCown was in for briefly. Then we had Sam Darnold for 3 years, Zach Wilson, and of course, now to Aaron Rodgers.
So given the franchise's lack of stability at the quarterback position and the carousel that you just named, what's the mood of the fan base in New York City with Rodgers now there?
I think they're excited. I think there's also a sense of relief, like finally this is over for 6 weeks, really longer, for maybe 8 or 9 weeks. This Rodgers thing was hanging over the franchise and the fan base. And for a while, the fan base was so impatient with Rodgers that they wanted Derek Carr. You know, we went through that whole phase. And then Carr signed in New Orleans. And so the Jets really had no choice, their fans, to root for this Rodgers thing to happen. So I think there's excitement now that it's finally here. Maybe if you asked them a week ago, they would have said, oh, you know, let's just move on already. But now I think they're excited.
A wise man once said, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, it was the season of light, it was the season of darkness, it was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. And while I don't think Charles Dickens ever watched Aaron Rodgers play, he seems to have understood what fans in New York and Green Bay have been going through. So today, a tale of two cities and two franchises with a pair of reporters who've covered them for years. First, we check in with Rich Cimini in New York, where Jets fans have their sights set on the Lombardi Trophy. And then we head back to the land of Lombardi with Rob Domofsky to see how the Packers are moving on after 3 decades with a Hall of Fame QB under center. I'm George Sedano. It's Wednesday, April 26th. This is ESPN Daily.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, Rich, the Sacramento Kings made the NBA playoffs this year for the first time since 2006. It was 16 plus years, which means the Jets now have the longest active playoff drought in major North American sports. They haven't made the playoffs since 2010. What have the last 12 plus seasons been like for you to cover them?
Well, not only have they not made the playoffs, but they've only had one winning season during that span is 2015, where they went 10-6 and then came up short at the very end. So it's been 12 years of constant upheaval, both head coaching-wise, quarterback-wise. This is a franchise that endured 2 years of Adam Gase, which must have been pure hell for Jet fans to go through. He was like their modern-day Rich Kotite. And so it's been hard because only 12, 13 years ago, it looked like the Jets were going to be perennial contenders under Rex Ryan. You know, they made the AFC Championship game 2 years in a row. And you're thinking, okay, young quarterback, Mark Sanchez, we've got a real future. And then this, the bottom dropped out. Just lack of talent, poor coaching, poor general managing. And here we are 12 years later.
Leave it to the Jets to hire Adam Gase after a couple of losing seasons in Miami, right? Like, I mean, it's not like they couldn't get a look at him up close in those scenarios.
Yeah, I mean, they actually won 7 games Adam's first year. People tend to forget that because of what happened the following year where they go, 1-15 or 2-14, actually.
2-14.
2-14, yeah. And actually didn't lose enough to get Trevor Lawrence. So that was just another kick in the rear for Jet fans.
All right, but now a 39-year-old Aaron Rodgers is going to descend upon New York, and the Jets currently have the 6th best odds to win the Super Bowl this coming season. What's that like as a reporter going from covering a team that was dealing with all sorts of quarterback issues to now covering a contender?
It's changed. You could just feel the narrative change around the building just from watching the players on social media just outwardly lobbying for Rodgers as if he's their savior. I mean, Sauce Gardner burning a cheesehead in a backyard barbecue pit is sort of some sacrifice, you know, to get Rodgers to come.
Not only is this the first time we burning the cheesehead, this is our first time lighting a fire pit in it. It ain't going good.
Ain't nothing we can do. Look at the cheese, it's melting.
It's turning to cheese sauce, bro. Look, it's turning into cheese sauce, though.
The expectations, of course, have risen dramatically, as you just mentioned, with the Super Bowl odds. And so it'll be different. It'll take me back to 2010 when the Jets were considered pretty good. And so now I think they're pretty good again.
What does that mean for Zach Wilson, though? Because, I mean, you're seeing all your teammates basically openly pining for another quarterback. What's his future now?
Yeah, that has to be really, really hard. And not only pining for Aaron Rodgers during the offseason, they were pining for Mike White during the season last year, showing up to games wearing Mike White t-shirts. That had to be really hard for Zach as well. His future is right now as their number two quarterback. You know, he's got 2 more years on his contract. The Jets say publicly that they want to keep him. They want to continue to develop him. What's going to happen in 2 years? If Aaron Rodgers sticks around for 2 years, Zach Wilson will be a free agent. He will probably go elsewhere. I personally believe that Zach Wilson will never be the Jets starting quarterback again, even in the post-Rodgers era. I think he needs a change of scenery, and I think if you asked him and he would be truthful, he would admit the same thing.
Jets GM Joe Douglas had his pre-draft press conference on Tuesday, but unsurprisingly, the draft really wasn't the focus of that conversation. What did he say about Rodgers then?
Obviously confirming that the trade is in place.
Ultimately, you know, our goal from the beginning was to add Aaron to the team. And so we were able to get that, agree to terms to that yesterday, and just excited to get him here.
They have a few things to work out, but this trade obviously is happening.
There's still some I's to be dotted, T's to be crossed to ultimately finalize everything. But again, it was a lot of conversations.
He's very excited.
We're obviously excited about this opportunity, excited about this deal, and excited to add him to the team.
He called him an all-time great.
Aaron's one of the best quarterbacks to ever play this game. To have an opportunity to add a player of that caliber, you're always going to look into it and how it fits within our culture, within our team.
He thinks he can galvanize this very young Jet roster. They do have some really talented young players like Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson. So he was very upbeat about that.
There is quite a few young, talented, exciting players on this roster that are first, second, third year players. So like, I feel like the way we jumped out last year, a lot of those young men proved that they were ready to answer the call. And I know it's cliche, but day by day, we're just trying to stack those bricks.
But, you know, there were a couple of questions that went unanswered. And to me, that's kind of the big story. He was asked, how many years do you think Rodgers will play? And he said,
I don't want to put any words in Aaron's mouth. And you guys are going to have the opportunity at the right time to ask him those specific questions.
He was also asked if Aaron Rodgers will participate in the offseason program.
Joe, do you expect him to be part of the offseason program of OTAs going forward?
You know, again, I'd say I wouldn't want to put any words into Aaron's mouth. As we know, all of these workouts right now, this time of year, are voluntary. So, again, at the right time, you guys will be able to talk to him about that.
We know that Aaron Rodgers does not do this. In Green Bay, he sort of hung out in California during the voluntary workouts. And so two questions that remain unanswered, especially the first one is the key one. The Jets gave up a lot of compensation for Aaron Rodgers. And it would be too much, in my opinion, if he only plays 1 year. Of course, if they go to the Super Bowl, then it changes everything. But for 1 year, that's a lot to give up.
Do Jets fans have a little maybe PTSD because of how it worked out with Favre, where he was only there for one season?
The Favre thing... That's a very interesting point, because there's a lot of parallels between the Favre situation and Rodgers. We knew, and I think Jet fans knew, that Favre was one and done. Brett Favre, honestly, didn't even want to come to the Jets. He wanted to go to the Minnesota Vikings. They wouldn't take him. The Packers wouldn't trade him there. So the Jets were like a one-way stopover on the way to Minnesota. So I think he kind of came here very reluctantly, whereas Rodgers wants to be here. And he's made that very clear for the last few weeks. And so is there some fallout from that? Maybe the Favre thing ended badly. His arm basically fell off at the end of the year. He tore a bicep muscle. He couldn't throw. The team lost their last few games and fell out of the playoff race, and everybody got fired. So the Jets probably in the back of their minds, some of the older Jet fans are dreading another scenario like that. And when you have a 39-year-old quarterback, you just never know. I mean, it's injuries happen. So it's part of the business.
Well, beyond injuries, though, is there a worry at all about a decline in play? I mean, I know he won back-to-back MVPs in 20 and 21, but last year he didn't look like that, and he threw the most interceptions he'd thrown since 2008. What's the sense about his play as he ages?
Very pedestrian numbers last year, 26 touchdowns. And here's the thing that really jumped out at me. He did not have a single 300-yard passing game last year, which is so on Rodgers. The Jets said, look, he's only a year removed from his last MVP season. They feel he wasn't 100% last year. He had that thumb injury on his throwing hand. To me, that's a significant injury, obviously, for a right-handed quarterback. I've talked to people around the league, personnel people and coaches. They still think Aaron Rodgers can throw the football. They think last year was mostly due to injury. He also played with a very young receiving core last year. It took him a while before they got going, before he felt comfortable with guys like Christian Watson. And so I think that was a little bit of an aberration. I think the Jets are going to get a very motivated and a healthy, presumably, Aaron Rodgers. And so I think he'll have a bounce back year.
So let's talk about some of the weapons he'll have on offense. We know how good the Jets defense is, but Garrett Wilson obviously sticks out immediately from the wide receiver position. And then Breece Hall was fantastic prior to his injury. How do you view those guys fitting in what Aaron wants to do?
I think Garrett Wilson can be the new Davante Adams. I think he will be Aaron's Davante Adams in this offense. He was spectacular as a rookie last year, winning Offensive Rookie of the Year.
A deep drop lets the routes develop. One of his first downfield shots has Garrett Wilson. Makes Fieldmore miss. Turns on the afterburners. He's gone. Touchdown, Jets. New York takes the lead.
They also have Alan Lazard. They brought over from Green Bay. He's Aaron's BFF.
Third down and five. Rodgers, same side. And this time, it's in the hands of Lazard. Incredible play. 35-yard touchdown.
He was on the so-called wish list that the Jets tried to accommodate him with. And so he's a good number two receiver. And Breece Hall, a really, really talented running back, coming off from a very serious injury, though. ACL for a running back is nothing to minimize. The Jets think he will be ready. They are very optimistic he will be ready by week one. I do not expect to see Breece Hall in training camp. They're not going to expose him to preseason games. Everything is geared toward week one, so it'll take him a while to get back to his old self. But Breece Hall combined with that receiving core, and there are some weapons here for Rodgers on offense.
You mentioned the alleged wish list. What do we know about the alleged wish list other than Lazard?
Well, one of them on the wish list is now a Baltimore Raven. That's Odell Beckham Jr. The Jets made a serious run at him. And in fact, people saying privately that they thought they had a really good chance to get him. He was supposed to come to the Jets and visit. He got intercepted by Baltimore for $15 million. The Jets weren't going to go that high. So they don't get that one on the wish list. But there's still a couple of names on that wish list, like Randall Cobb was on it. I think he's still a possibility. The Jets do need a slot receiver. And Cobb, obviously not what he used to be, but very close to Aaron Rodgers. And I could see, if the Jets do not draft a receiver this coming weekend, I could see Randall Cobb surfacing here in Florham Park.
What about the AFC East here, Rich? Because obviously the Patriots had dominated the division for so long, but they're in flux a little bit for sure. But Josh Allen is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and Buffalo is fantastic. Miami is clearly on the upswing as well. What's the feeling around the Jets organization in terms of the division?
Well, they like their chances now. If you ask Jet people privately, I mean, they won 7 games last year without a quarterback. They feel like if they had competent quarterback play, we're not even talking about Pro Bowl level, we're talking about competent quarterback play, they think they could have won 11 or 12 games last year, which would have put them right at the top of the division and would have got them into the playoffs. So they feel their defense is as good as anybody's in the AFC. Championship caliber defense. Those are the words the coaches keep using. And so offensively, if they can improve to maybe, I'm not even going to say top 5 or top 10, even if they could just get into like the top 12 or something like that, I think they feel that they will be challenging for the division title.
All right, I want to get to their aspirations here in a second, but I do want to point out that it seems like Rodgers will be wearing number 8 with the Jets.
Correct.
So I'm guessing he got the blessing from Browning Nagel in that scenario?
Yeah. Yes, no doubt. They reached out to Browning down in Florida and said, is it okay? So he's wearing his old college number.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was given the blessing from Joe Namath, right, to wear number 12. Is that correct?
He was. Joe Namath made it very clear publicly that he was willing to give up the number 12. I think this is the right move for Aaron Rodgers. Public relations-wise, there's only one Joe Namath. There's only one Broadway Joe. He didn't want to come in. And also, with that kind of pressure. So he's going back to old school, his Cal days at number 8. And you're right. When I see 8, I still think of Browning Nagel. That's how long. probably the most ineffective starting quarterback of that group we just mentioned was Browning Nagel.
Yeah, he's certainly near the top of that part of the list. Yes, I would agree. All right, so how do you think Aaron will adjust from Green Bay, Wisconsin? I know that there's a big traveling party with them from a media perspective, but population 107,000 to New York City, population 8.5 million, and even more media than he's used to.
Look, he's a very intelligent guy. He's very well-spoken. He's got a good personality. I think he'll handle the football media just fine. Now, there's the other stuff. I mean, if he goes into city, if he wants to go dinner in a Broadway show, he could find a TMZ reporter or photographer right outside the theater. That's stuff that he probably didn't get in Green Bay. Green Bay, from what I understand, the players kind of blend into the fabric of the community. People see him out in public. It's not there's so-and-so. I think it'll be a little different in New York. I mean, the Jets facility is out in the suburbs. They're 30 miles west of Manhattan, but if Aaron Rodgers goes into Manhattan, you know, it's going to be, he's not going to have a lot of privacy. So it depends on how he wants to live his life. I think he'll be fine with the football media. It's the other stuff that may take some adjusting to.
Yeah. So, Rich, at the end of the day, is the move a Super Bowl or bust move for the Jets this season?
I think so. When you give up the kind of draft capital that you give up for a 39-year-old quarterback who may play 1 year or two, we don't know. When you have a championship caliber defense, as the Jets believe they do, yes, it's absolutely on this year. I think that if they go to the championship game and lose, I don't think the season's a disaster. But if they don't make the playoffs, it's a disaster. And it's absolutely all in. Woody Johnson is like putting the chips to the center of the table here. He's been the owner for like 23 years. He's desperate for a winner. I think he said to himself after the season, the way that season ended, he said, I will do anything I can do to get Aaron Rodgers. And he got him, to his credit. And now he wants to see the results. And if this team flames out, they're going to have a whole new regime here next year.
Always great theater in Gotham City there in New York, no question. Rich, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Always my pleasure. Thank you.
After the break, we'll go to Green Bay. Rob Domofsky will join us. We'll find out how they're feeling about the end of the Rodgers era.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Rob Domofsky, ESPN Packers beat writer. Remind us here, Rob, how many years have you been covering the Packers?
I think I've lost count, George, but I did start in August of 1997. So it's either 25, 26, somewhere in there. I got into this because I was told there was no math.
And back then, the Brett Favre era, correct?
Correct. Yep. I covered the last 10 or 11 years of Favre and then the entire Rodgers tenure. That's basically all I've ever seen is two guys that have won, seven MVPs combined and a couple of Super Bowls for however long I've been around here. It's basically been two quarterbacks and that's about it.
Well, to that point, trying to be kind here, but it feels like, you know, Packer fans have been spoiled, obviously, with
no
quarterback
question.
Royalty there, right?
No question.
But after all the years of the drama with Aaron, and now he's a former Packer quarterback, what do you think the mood around the fans of Green Bay is in this newly minted post-Rodgers era?
I think it's very different, George, than it was in 2008 when Brett Favre retired and then unretired. Because at that time, don't forget, Brett Favre wanted to come back to the organization. He retired in March because they desperately wanted a decision and they knew what they had in Aaron Rodgers. So they kind of forced Favre into retirement. And then when Brett changed his mind, the fans were all about bringing Brett Favre back. I mean, everyone wanted that to the point where Aaron Rodgers was getting booed in training camp And the night that the Packers had their biggest event of training camp, it's called Family Night. It's basically a practice in front of 65, 70,000 people in Lambeau Field. While that was going on, Brett Favre's private plane literally flew over the stadium and landed at the airport in Green Bay. And he returned. In his mind, he was returning to claim his job back. The Packers were never giving it back to him. And the fans were just wild about it. They were just wild that Favre could be back. And when Mark Murphy, the president then and the president now, and the late general manager Ted Thompson decided, nope, we've committed to Aaron Rodgers, the fans turned against them like you would not believe. I mean, people would hurl insults at Ted Thompson as he would walk across the street from the stadium to those training camp practices. I don't sense that it's anywhere near like that now. At best, it's a 50-50 divide. And in a lot of cases, and this is just an unofficial grocery store trip, golf course, high school basketball gym, places I go in my life, this is an unofficial poll, but I don't get the sense that there's anywhere near the amount of people that are upset that Aaron Rodgers will no longer be the Packers quarterback. But there are plenty of people who tell the people that are ready to move on from the drama of Aaron Rodgers, say, look, I lived here in the 70s and 80s when this was the Siberia of the NFL. Be careful what you wish for.
With the Rodgers drama, I mean, you're there for it every day. What was, I guess, your relationship or his relationship like with the media here in the last couple years?
I think it's very different, George, with the guys and the women who cover the team on a daily basis than it is with the general national media. Aaron, for us, was great to deal with. He would talk at his locker, George, every Wednesday during the season for like a half hour. Never cut it off. Never said, hey, that's it, I got to go. I don't remember ever a time going up to him, even on a day where he wasn't speaking, hey, can I ask you something real quick? I'm working on a story. He was thoughtful. He gave good answers. I think he respected the job that the people who were there on a daily basis did. I think the thing that people forget, though, George, is for the first 10, 12 years of his career, he never said much publicly. He was very private. You didn't know anything about his personal life. And that was by design, almost like he was going to be the anti-Favre. I mean, with Favre, you knew everything about him. You knew when he had the painkiller addiction. He had the drinking problems. His dad, he basically grieved his father's death publicly. His wife Deanna's breast cancer. I mean,
yeah.
All that stuff, he lived publicly. And Aaron never did. And it really wasn't until, you know, probably the last 4, 5, 6 years of his career that he did start to open up, so, you know, whether it was social media or whether it was interview appearances. The Pat McAfee show obviously gave him a totally different avenue to let people inside. But that really wasn't Aaron Rodgers for the bulk of his career.
Well, and that's the norm, I think, for most quarterbacks, which is they don't let you in, right?
Yeah.
But you kind of mentioned one of the differences, I guess, between him and Favre when it came to personalities. I asked you for similarities earlier. What other striking differences did they have?
It's almost like at the beginning that Aaron tried to be the anti-Brett. And maybe this is reading too much into it, but Brett did his press conferences in the auditorium at the podium. Aaron did his at his locker. Brett threw interceptions willy-nilly. Aaron never threw interceptions, right? Like, it was almost like by design that Aaron went out of his way to be different than Brett. Even how Aaron was with young quarterbacks, and that includes Jordan Love. You know, he opened himself up to them and tried to help them in many ways. When early on, when Aaron got to Green Bay, there was a famous quote from Brett. I'm paraphrasing here, but essentially he said, nowhere in my contract does it say I have to mentor Aaron Rodgers, you know? And that first year, 2005, they did not have a good relationship. I remember talking to Aaron one time and him telling me he didn't even have Brett Favre's phone number. Like, and I remember him saying, look, I'm closer in age to Brett's daughter than I am to Brett, which, you know, that makes sense.
Let's talk about the front office here. We've talked a lot about the fans' perception here. What is the front office saying about finally moving on from Aaron?
Yeah, look, Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, has been with this organization since the late 90s. When he took over, essentially, it went
Ron Wolf, Hall of Fame general manager who traded for Brett Favre, Ted Thompson, who drafted Aaron Rodgers, to him, and he understood that ultimately his legacy probably wasn't going to be, did they win one more Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, the guy that I inherited and had for a couple of years, but rather it's, am I going to be able to sustain this franchise for the next 10 to 15 years based on elite quarterback play like the two guys did before me? And that's his job. Now, Matt LaFleur's job is to win football games right now. And I think Matt LaFleur wanted to ride Aaron Rodgers out, you know, as long as he could up until this past year. But even if there was drama, like we talked about earlier with Brett or with Aaron, I'm never going to stop confusing these two guys, by the way. But if there was drama, you could live with it because he was winning 13 games. But the minute that they went 8-9 last year, that's when it changed. And we asked Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, look, in December, you talked to us and you said that Aaron Rodgers was your guy. After the season, we asked him what changed. And quite frankly, he said the events of last season changed how we looked at things. Because when they signed Aaron Rodgers, that three-year, $150 million contract, they expected him to play more than 1 year. And what changed was that they went 8-9, and whether it was Aaron Rodgers' fault or not Aaron Rodgers' fault, spending $60 million on a quarterback to go 8-9. In fact, Brian Gutekunst said this week when he did the press conference that was supposed to be his pre-draft press conference, but turned out to be the press conference that took place 20 minutes after the trade terms were agreed upon, said, look, we couldn't let Jordan Love sit another year.
I just think, you know, as we move forward, we're really excited where Jordan can go. He needs to play. And having him sit another year, I think, would really delay kind of, you know, where we're going and what we're trying to build.
It feels like it was more about, hey, we got to see what we've got in this kid. And we got to move on from Aaron now that he's not as productive as he once was. Less about being sure about Jordan Love. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's fair. If you remember the 2007 season, Rodgers played almost a full game in Dallas. It was a Thursday night game. The end of the first quarter, Cowboys were up like two touchdowns. Brett gets hurt. They take him out. Aaron plays the rest of that game. And Packers didn't win the game, but Aaron played lights out.
Shotgun snap to Rodgers, scans the secondary, bullets the right side, and he's got his man making the turn to the end zone, reaching, touchdown, Greg Jennings!
And at that point, Mike McCarthy has said, when they got on the plane to leave Dallas that night, they knew that Aaron Rodgers was ready. I just don't think that the Packers, if they're being honest, can say that they have exactly the same feeling about Jordan Love that they did about Rodgers. Not to say he won't turn out to be a good player. They just don't quite have enough information.
Okay, Rob, so as we leave you here, do you have one piece of advice for the New York media as they cover Rodgers?
Yeah, don't write about his personal life. He doesn't love that. Aaron Rodgers loves to talk about football. He loves it. He doesn't love necessarily when people, you know, pick apart the other parts of his life. The biggest difference in the Green Bay media, in the New York media, I don't think it's football. There's the Packers get so much coverage because it's the biggest thing in the state of Wisconsin. There's 30 reporters that travel with this team to road games. Even though we're a small market, it's not treated like a small beat. The difference is that there's no Page Six in the Green Bay Press Gazette or the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Well, actually, there is a Page Six, but in the Press Gazette, it probably has the farm reports. And in the Journal Sentinel, it probably has the news on the breweries, the business stuff. So yeah. There's a Page Six. It's just quite a bit different than Page Six in New York.
Rob Demosky, you've been awesome, man. Thanks again.
George, it was my pleasure.
I'm George Sedano. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.